Good evening. So as you heard, we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent, also called Gaudete Sunday. The name is given to us from the first word of the entrance antiphon, rejoice, or in Latin, Gaudete. The antiphon reads, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. I guess my question to you this evening is just, how near is he to us? For if we listen to the gospel, there seems to be a disconnect. For on this Sunday, we are reminded to rejoice in the Lord. And we hear of John the Baptist sitting in the jail and wondering if he placed his faith, his time, and his energy on the wrong person. Wondering indeed if the Lord is near. He was asking, are you the one to come, or should we be looking for somebody else? Sounds like John may have had different expectations of what the Messiah would be doing. After all, he was the one preparing the way for the Lord, and now he finds himself in a dark, dreary, damp jail cell. Perhaps he was under the impression that Christ would appear and with a wave of his hand would do away with all the suffering and discrimination and hate and fear. But then again, when we're faced with adversity and doubt and loss, how often have we questioned, where is God? Or in other words, is the Lord anywhere near? In today's gospel, Jesus' response to the question was basically, go back and tell John all that you see and hear, and that I have come to proclaim the good news to the poor, the outcasts, the sinners, those discriminated against, to all the people living on the edge. Indeed, Jesus was doing things way differently than had been expected. For his focus was always serving those on the edges of society and meeting them where they are. Author Ernest Boyle Jr. in his book, Away in the World, writes about the spirituality of the center and of the edge. He defines the center as where you feel most at home. It's a place of safety and comfort, where you're surrounded by familiar daily rituals. Your edge is that place that's unfamiliar, it's filled with newness. And while it's the space that you're most uncomfortable, it's also where you learn most often about love and life and best experience God. I know sometimes we have no choice. We're just thrown into our edges. Other times it requires us to have a great deal of courage to move from our comfortable centers into the unknown, into the places where, frankly, we're just not in control. The Bible gives us many examples of such spirituality, such as the Israelites leaving Egypt in Exodus, Joseph the dreamer sold into slavery by his brothers. And for Jesus, it's the story of how he began his ministry, when after his baptism comes out of the water and hears his father's voice telling him how much he loves him, and then he's taken into the desert to face the temptations of power and of self. Painful, yet graceful movements from center to edge and back again. But it would seem that John the Baptist and many of his disciples had the expectation that this Jesus the Christ, this Messiah, would be the one who would help them build up their centers and bolster their egos. Instead, Jesus practiced a spirituality which focused on those on the edges, independent of who they were or what they did or what sins they committed. He invited all people to move with him to his center, to experience God's love, and to be the shining light of Christ. In the years past, I used to travel to Louisville a few times each year. And when I did, I made sure I walked through the city and stopped at the corner of 4th and Walnut. Some 60 years ago, that intersection was the epicenter of the city's battle over racial segregation and discrimination. It's also the street corner where on March 18th, 1958, while running errands for the monastery, Thomas Merton had an epiphany. I think yesterday was the 54th anniversary of his death. But this is what Merton wrote about his experience. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people. They were mine, and I theirs. That we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. I had this immense joy of being a member of a race in which God became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. See, in a time and a place where African Americans were discriminated against and at best treated as second-class citizens, he experienced that we're all the same. We're all united. No one should ever be separated from the rest of the human race. That the light of Christ shines forth equally from all people, black or white, red or blue, Christian, Muslim, citizen, undocumented, married, divorced, and independent on who the other person loves. This is why we come together as a community. Jesus didn't come to fulfill our private needs. He didn't come to bolster our centers or our egos. Rather, he came to be with us on our edges. That's why we gather to celebrate and live out the scripture that we hear each week, because each of us have different centers and edges. Your edge may be my center. Your center may be my edge. And when we interact with each other and help each other and pray with and for each other without judgment or division, when we move ourselves and pull others into a common center, which is what we heard Isaiah describe in last Sunday's reading as the peaceable kingdom of God. Where Isaiah says, the baby shall play by the cobra's den and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. Images given to us in order to awaken us and shock us and coax us into realizing how different the kingdom to come is from our own current reality, where the difference seems to be incomprehensible. That's why during Advent we're called to celebrate that the kingdom of God, while still to come, it's right here and now. The Lord is truly near through the God's presence in each and every one of us. That today's call to rejoice is to celebrate that we're never abandoned by God, for the Lord is always near. Today's gospel, Jesus told John's disciples, go back and tell them that the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the poor, they're going to have good news proclaimed to them. In other words, that our life is not all about building up our center, rather moving from our center to the edges and connecting with others there and proclaiming to them the good news, thereby bringing the kingdom to come to the present. Jesus reiterates this later on in Matthew when he talks about the kingdom of God that's yet to come. The criteria for judgment will be based on the times that we feed the hungry and clothe the naked and welcome the stranger. In other words, that the actions we take each day should be active participation which brings the kingdom to those who come into our lives versus us wasting time hoping and praying and thinking we can earn the kingdom which is to come. That is why we are called to do as we announce the good news that through all of us, God cares for the hungry and the poor, the lonely and the sick, the broken and the empty. God cares for you and for me, especially when we find ourselves living on that edge. The reign of God is here. It's now and it's with us. That's why as we cross the halfway point of Advent, we shout, rejoice. For in 2 weeks, we will celebrate Emmanuel, the great I Am, God with us, God among us, God incarnate, God fully human and fully alive. So rejoice. Gaudete. Stay awake. Stay connected. Look outward and participate in the great and mighty deeds of the Lord, the Christ, the one who is indeed always and forever very near.